Greetings, friends, and welcome to The Sound of Faith. I'm Sharon Knotts, thanking you for joining us today because we know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And we have a very special word of the Lord for you today. There is a righteous cause. This means to stand up for a cause that is on God's heart and to defend His name and His word. And the abortions being done in this country is such a cause. Proverbs 31:8 says, "Open your mouth for the dumb in the cause of all who are appointed for destruction." The dumb are those who have no voice. And I say to you, the unborn in their mother's wombs have no voice. And when there is an appointment on the calendar with the abortion clinic, they are appointed to destruction. We must open our mouths to speak for them. This is a righteous cause.
How many of you remember that preacher we had about a few weeks back? We had this preacher that preached about there's only one God for all men and preached against racial hatred. And we had a preacher that preached about same-sex marriage and how it goes against God's word. How many remember that preacher?
Amen.
Amen. And we had a preacher that preached about a few weeks ago, preached about the fact that this nation, contrary to what people are now saying, was founded by godly men on Christian principles. How many of you remember that preacher?
Amen.
I'm back. So last week we kind of had a message to you, but come on, folks. This week everything changed. You know, the things that are happening in our world today and the stories that we're getting hit with, there was a time that just any one of those stories would have been the story of the century. And now we've got three or four of them occurring simultaneously. If that doesn't tell you, the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. When not only these signs are happening, but they're overlapping one another.
Amen.
Amen? So the shock of one we haven't really absorbed until something else comes along. And so some of you know what I'm talking about. But Tuesday of this week, there was an undercover video released. Someone did an undercover video of a high-ranking Planned Parenthood director, Dr. Deborah Nucatola. She's a senior director of medical services at the Planned Parenthood, and she's been there since 2009. And a group representing a biomedical lab, they had gone out to lunch with her, and their interest is in purchasing baby body parts from abortions. And so this undercover video was being done, and so they were asking questions to get this woman to give out the information. For instance, the average price for a baby body part ranges anywhere from $30 to $100 per specimen. And while she was casually sipping wine and eating her salad, she revealed the fact that fetal or baby livers are especially in high demand. Although she said a lot of people want heads, intact heads. And there are a lot of requests for lungs and lower extremities. And she said Planned Parenthood affiliates, means all the different offices across the nation, absolutely, was her word, want to offer such organs. She admitted that the Planned Parenthood's abortionists take great care not to appear as though they are profiteering off of baby body parts. She said they just want to do it in a way that is not perceived as the clinic is selling tissue. Not perceived. It is, but they want to do it so it's not perceived that they're selling tissue and that they're making money off of this. And this issue is not just a PR issue. It's a federal law. Trafficking human body parts is punishable up to 10 years in prison and a fine of $500,000. So the method that she describes on this video at her particular office, they have a huddle. And they determine what fetal body parts are being requested by their customers. And what patients they will be having that day to perform abortions on. And they will, by that, they will know how they need to go about harvesting what body parts. And they want to do it in such a way, when they do the abortion, they want to do it in such a way that they do not destroy any organs, maximizing their profits. For that reason, this is her quote, most providers will do this under ultrasound guidance, so they'll know where exactly to put their forceps, because they don't want to crush an organ that they want. So if they want a particular organ, say the liver, then they're going to make sure that they have the ultrasound guiding them while they're going in with the forceps to make sure they don't injure that liver. So in that case, they would crush something above and something below, so as to keep the body parts that they want intact. Some people, she said, as she took another sip of wine, will actually try to change the presentation so that it's not vertex or it's not head first. So if you're starting and you have a breech presentation, in other words, the baby is not head down yet. If you have a presentation where the baby is not head down but feet down, the doctor will go in there and try to turn the baby in such a way so that he can have an intact head when they take it out, that they won't crush it or harm it. She said there are ways around the law, because there is a federal abortion ban is a law. She said the federal abortion ban is a law. Now she's talking about, because abortion is legal. Amen. But she's talking about partial birth abortion. How many are aware of that? Okay. If you're not, I'll quickly just give you an idea how it goes. It's done guided by ultrasound. And the first thing the doctor does is go in there and grab one of the baby's legs by the forceps, then pulls the baby out all the way out, stopping at the head. If they were to bring the head out, then it's a baby and then it would be murder. But as long as the head is still in there, the baby is not born. The baby's partially born. Amen. It's a partial birth. And so after they have the baby pulled all the way out except for the head, then the doctor takes scissors, reaches in there, and punches a hole at the bottom of the skull. Makes the hole wide enough so that he can put a catheter in and suck out the baby's brains. The baby dies, then the doctor delivers a dead baby. So it's not murder. Amen? So she realized, getting back to this article, that it's a federal law prohibiting doing partial birth abortions except for certain cases. But she said there's a way around the law. At the national office, we have a litigation and law department, which just really doesn't want us to be the middle people for this issue right now, she says. But I will tell you, behind closed doors, these conversations are happening with our affiliates. Now, in a separate video, the investigators met with the CEO of Planned Parenthood, the top person, and they told her how that this Dr. Nucatella had been incredibly helpful in their efforts to procure unborn baby body parts. Oh, good, she said. Great. She's amazing. So that lets you know that the very head of Planned Parenthood knows exactly what's going on in all of their offices around the nation. Amen? So in addition to overseeing these medical practices, she actually does abortions herself, this doctor. So the video went on to, it says a lot of it. I'm just giving you parts of it. So the people that made the video said, Planned Parenthood's criminal conspiracy to make money off of aborted baby parts reaches to the very highest levels of their organization. Elected officials must listen to the public outcry for Planned Parenthood to be held accountable to the law, and for our tax dollars to stop underwriting this barbaric abortion business. Pro-life leaders are calling for a congressional investigation. And this video provides the shocking reality about this grisly, inhumane business model of Planned Parenthood. Amen? Do you know that in their offices, for breast screenings for women are way down and abortions are up? You see, they say that they're out there to help poor women who do not have access to good health care. So they're out there, they're the hero of women. But why would breast screenings be down? Amen. Breast cancer is not down. Amen. And so it shows you that they are in it for profit. And there's an outcry now for there to be an investigation. I put out there on the bulletin board, I put the numbers and the websites for our Maryland senators, Senator Ben Cardin and Senator Barbara Mikulski. You need to either call their office or go on the website and tell them that you want a congressional investigation into Planned Parenthood's selling of baby parts. If they get inundated, they need to be inundated. Their telephones need to be overloaded. Their website needs to be overloaded with complaints. It only take you a few seconds to do it. You either call and tell them or go on the website, both of them. Do both of them. Get both of the senators. Amen. Now, everybody has their own different congressman. So if you know your congressman, you can do your congressman too. But these are Maryland senators, and this is something we need to do. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And turn in your Bibles with me to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31:8. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. One verse. I'll read it again. Open thy mouth. Speak up for the dumb. We're not talking about people that are intellectually challenged. We're talking about people that have no voice, that cannot speak for themselves. Open up thy mouth for those who have no voice in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. I say to you that the unwanted child in the womb whose mother has an appointment on the calendar, and it's not an appointment of her due date, but it's her appointment with Planned Parenthood or another abortionist, I say that that is a child that has no voice. It is a cause for which Christians need to stand up and speak out. There is a righteous cause. Amen? And some people think, well, we don't need to get into politics. This is not political. This is biblical. Amen? You know, when David was just a young man and he was still a shepherd out on the back side of the mountain watching his father's sheep while his seven older brothers were serving in the Israeli army. And one day his father said, I want you to go where the army is camped and check up on your brothers and take them some things and bring me back a report how they're doing. So the young David went to the camp, and when he got there, every one of them, the entire army, including the king, were hiding in their tents. While this huge giant Goliath was taunting them and mocking them, and they're all scared and hiding from the giant. And something triggered in that young man's spirit in his heart, and he rose up strong. He says, what's wrong with you people? Why are you hiding out here in your tents? Why aren't you going out there to face this giant? And he said, is there not a cause? Is there not a righteous cause? He said, he's not just defying you, he's defying the God of Israel. He's defying the Lord God Almighty. And somebody needs to stand up against him in the name of the Lord. Amen. There is a righteous cause. Amen. And the Bible says that we need to take the cause of those who have no voice, who are appointed to destruction. And I can't think of any worse destruction than to rip a child out of its mother's womb and now to add insult to injury to sell the baby's parts. You know, like the day after that one case that went before the federal courts of the nuns who do not want to pay for abortions and do not want to pay for contraception in their health plans, and it's been going through the system and they keep getting denied. They got it denied again. And I thought, how is it that they could be denied that on religious beliefs that they have to be forced to pay for people to have abortions, especially now what we know what they're doing with these body parts? Amen. We've got to speak up. There is a righteous cause. And I tell you that when you take God's righteous cause, you do not have to be afraid. You do not have to back down. You do not have to say, well, I don't think I should say anything. David was only a lad. He was a young man. And here his big hawk of a brothers were hiding in the tent. And he said, you don't get it. They are mocking our God. They are mocking the name of the Lord. I'll go out there and fight the giant. And he was fearless. Fearless. And when the king tried to put his armor on him, he said, get this thing off of me. I've never tried this thing out, but I know. I've tried my God. I know that he has delivered me out of the bear's paw, and he's delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. Amen? And I am not afraid of this giant. And the Bible says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. And we've got to be bold, and we've got to stand up, because there is a righteous cause. They are defying the living God, because he said in the commandments that he gave us, he said, thou shalt not kill. But they are better translated, thou shalt not murder. Because in Hebrew, there's about 6 words that are all translated kill. But they do not all mean the exact same thing. For instance, God had the sacrificial system where they were to offer the lambs and the cows and such for their sacrifice. Amen? To shed the blood, put it on the altar, and then they were to cook the meat and eat it. They weren't to waste the meat. After they shed the blood, they were to cook it, and they gave so much to the priest because the priest didn't have any occupation to gain their money and their food. So that word kill is not the same as murder. And then when there's a righteous cause, such as Israel standing up against the Philistines who are trying to kill them, the Bible says there is a time of peace and there's a time of war. And when you have to go out as an army against a nation that is trying to kill you, that's a righteous cause. That is not murder. Now, there's some people, their conscience is so delicate that they can't even do that. They don't condemn others that want to go to war, but they say, I can't do that. But I want you to know that there is a time, a righteous cause to go to war. But when you take the innocent life of a baby in its mother's womb, that is murder. Amen. That is infanticide. Amen? So let's talk about similarities in the Old Testament. Now, there was a terrible, terrible practice that occurred in the Old Testament amongst the heathen nations of Canaan. And this is one of the reasons why when God told Israel to go into the promised land, he told them to kill them, kill them all. It sounds, people say, well, that sounds terrible. What kind of God is that? Kill them all. Don't spare any. This is one of the reasons. Because they practiced child sacrifice in their deity worship. All the nations around there did it. It was common. One of their gods, the god of the Ammonites, was called Molech. And the god of the Moabites was called Chemosh. And it was a huge brass statue. The head was the head of a cow. Or a bull, with its arms extended out like this, and a big cavity in the belly of the statue. And what they would do is they would build a fire in the belly of the statue. And how many know if brass gets heated up, it is super hot. And then they would take that infant, that baby, and would place it on those super hot brass arms. Fire would be coming out of the belly like this. And that's why the Old Testament says, do not let your children pass through the fire. They would put them there, and the fire was coming up. And they would have drummers beating the drums loudly to drown out the screams and the cries of the babies. Now, we cringe. We cringe. I'm seeing some of your facial expressions. You're cringing at the very idea of such a barbaric act of killing a child like that. But you know what? It's just as barbaric what we're doing in doctors' offices. Amen? Amen. It's just as barbaric. Amen? It is still murdering babies. And God is against, totally against any such thing. God hated that practice of those nations that were around them. And so God was against it. Now, after God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, you know the very last plague that finally was the straw that broke Pharaoh's back was that all the firstborn males in the land of Egypt were slain. And we know that God spared the firstborn of Israel if they obeyed and put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts and lintels of their homes and stayed behind the blood. That's the key. Stay under the blood. And so if they obeyed, then none of their firstborn were killed. Now, when they came into the land of Israel and God set up the sacrificial system, he said, because I spared all your firstborn sons in the land of Egypt, I require of you now that you give me the firstborn males of all your cattle, your lambs, your sheep, etc. You bring them to my house as an offering to me. And he said, of your firstborn sons, with this one condition, God did not want them to slay their children. They were to slay the animals and offer them up. But he said, do not slay your sons, redeem your sons. So in other words, they were to give an offering in place of, in lieu of sacrificing their sons, because God was against child sacrifice. Amen. And so he said, no, I want you to redeem your children. Sacrifice your animals, but redeem your children. Turn with me to Leviticus, the 18th chapter. We'll look at a couple of verses in Leviticus very quickly. 18 and verse 21. Now God is giving them many commandments here, many prohibitions here. And in verse 21, he says, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord. So here he's referring to what I told you of sacrificing these children on this statute. And some of the most wicked of kings, the ones that were the most wicked after they began to really backslide, it says, and they allowed their children to pass through the fire. As barbaric as this, that horrible thing was, it came a time when some kings were so evil and backslidden that they were doing it in Israel.
Amen. What a passionate word of the Lord. There is a righteous cause. We are commanded to open our mouths for the cause of those who have no voice and who were appointed to destruction. This is exactly the plight of the unborn who have an appointment on the calendar, not for their birthday, but their mother's appointment with the abortion doctor. We must be the voice of 60 million babies aborted in the United States. Abortion is tantamount to child sacrifice in ancient times, which God hated and commanded the death penalty for all those who killed their children. But God also commanded that all those who witnessed child sacrifice and did nothing to punish the perpetrators should also be judged. God will judge politicians who legislate for abortions, those who provide for abortions, and those who profit from abortions. But he will also judge his people who look the other way and do not lift up their voices for this righteous cause. Pro-choice is a euphemism for pro-death, but you will never hear a politician claim to be pro-death. Pro-choice sounds positive, a woman's right to choose what she does with her own body. But God says she does not have the right to kill the baby in her womb. Make no mistake, the only choice she has is between having a living baby or a dead baby, but either way, she's going to have a baby. In the parable of the unwanted baby of Ezekiel 16, God said to the baby dying in its own blood, "Live, yea, I say, live." What do we say? Do we say live, or do we look the other way? There is a righteous cause can be ordered on CD for a love gift of $10 or more for the radio ministry. Request SK-142. Mail to Sound of Faith, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Or go online to soundoffaith.org, where you can also order on MP3s. But to order by mail, send your minimum love gift of $10 to P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Request offer SK-142. Till next time, this is Sharon Knott saying, Maranatha.